you're just wasting precious time. And if you want to know what's on our minds, you're in the right place, because this is the Decibel Geek Podcast. My name is Aaron Camaro, joined as always by the man who knows his letters are big enough, Chris Sinzak.
You stole my joke. I was about to say the same thing.
Awesome. Awesome. We are going to have some fun today. You know, Ralph Vieira, also known as Dr. Fuck, he's a big star. Lead singer of Thrash or Die, co-host of the lovable Rock and Metal Combat podcast with Ian Wadley, and creator of one of the most popular Kiss channels on YouTube. Richard Sir is also a world-renowned rock and roll YouTube star in his own right. Today, we will find out what happens when these two iconic hard rock internet sensations clash and love is on the line.
Oh, wow.
But before we get to all that, we should probably take care of our business, huh? Yeah. And you know us, our business are those sweet, sweet reviews and recommendations. And man, we got a couple of great ones to kick off the show with here today. First one goes a little something like this. A great rock and roll podcast. That's the title. The Stars, All Five. And it comes from Amber H01. I came across the Decibel Geek podcast while looking up the mysterious Vinnie Vincent.
Who?
Vinnie Vincent.
Oh, okay.
Needless to say, I was hooked and have been thoroughly impressed with the show ever since. I love all the Kiss-related episodes, as well as the interviews with Mark Slaughter, Mike Tramp, and the many other guests. You guys rock.
Thanks, Amber.
That's awesome. I love that.
So we finally have a female listener to go along with Mighty K.
Uh-huh. Yep. So that's two.
It's a company of two.
Ding, ding.
Yeah.
We also got a Facebook review comes to us from Steve Wright, and he recommends us. And he says this: these guys are the real deal. Great podcast, Chris and Aaron. You're a great team.
Yeah, and check out Steve's show. He's got the Potter Than Hell podcast.
That's
good, friends
right.
of ours.
And he would know.
Yeah.
He would know a good podcast when he hears it. So when he says we're awesome, then I got to believe we are awesome.
And we just saw Steve in Nashville for the expo, and great to see him and his co-hosts again. And
yes.
Yeah, check out that show. They had a really awesome recap show. I enjoyed it. Thanks for the kind words, guys.
Right on. So that's it. That's our reviews and recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last week, we had a blast.
Yeah.
We had a really good time. I really, really liked doing last week's episode. We had a lot of fun with Brian Davis, mm-hmm. and he came on and we talked about bonus tracks.
Not boner tracks.
Yeah. Bonus tracks. Two yeah. very different things.
It was a 2 hours plus of awesome music. And yeah, we loved having him on. And remember to check out Damn Good Movie Memories podcast, his show. It's mm-hmm. a great show. And yeah, so the people that shared on Facebook and retweeted on Twitter are our Geeks of the Week for last week's episode. Geeks of the Week this week are Steve Wright, Todd Cunningham, Mark Alden Taylor, Freeform Rock Podcast, Jason Blusky, Matt Ashcraft, Brad Kalmanson, Rob Harris, Scott Crouch, Ridiculous Rock Record Review, Simon Catt, Kenneth Roy, Ray Kuhn, Ken J. West, Kristen Schimbeck, Dan Nation, Wayne Cross, Greg Troyan II, Alan Tate, Aaron Baker, The Bakery Podcast, David Glenn, Todd Rogers, Sean Cullen, Brant Cattell, Bill Elam, Mike Parnell, Mikhail Burrell, Robin the Hood, Dante Eladio, Jeff Mendenhall, Twisted Kister, Ernesto Aguiar, Christopher Stokes, and of course,
the Mooger Fooger.
Shout out to the Mooger Fooger and Mrs. Fooger,
yes.
Shane and Jana. Want you guys to know we're thinking about you and hang in there.
Yeah, we love you guys. So, you know, hang in there because we love you.
Yeah. So what?
Well, hey, hold on a second, because I need to have a talk with you real quick.
Uh-oh, what did I do?
You didn't do nothing.
Okay.
Well, it's been a few weeks since the Rockin' Pod Expo, right? You mm-hmm. know, and things are finally starting to calm back down around here. And everyone's gotten to enjoy all the live podcasts and interviews that all those lucky shows that got to hang out at their tables did.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad because you and I kind of missed out on that stuff.
Yeah, we always do.
And I know that you, you know, well, yeah, because, I mean, you do so much in the organizational and operational side of things of the expo. I mean, you don't have time to do it. And
not
I'm up
much.
On stage hosting, so I don't mm-hmm. have time to do it. And I know for you, it's been years since you've been able to enjoy the expo experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a huge surprise for you.
What's up?
I have booked us a table at next weekend's Imperial Commissary Collectors Convention.
What is that?
Star Wars. We're going to be at a Star Wars convention.
Oh, cool.
That way you can just hang out and have a good time, and I can hang out and have a good time, and we'll be at a convention. We'll have a table. It'll have our banner on it, and we can sit at it.
That works for me.
And we could talk to Darth Vader about Black Sabbath.
Oh, that would be
cool. We can talk to the sand people from Tatooine about the desert sessions.
I want to talk to a Jawa.
We could talk to Jawas.
That would be cool.
And ask them what they're into.
Find out why their eyes glow and shit.
You know why their eyes glow.
Why?
They listen to Pantera.
Oh, okay.
When they're riding around those big old tanks, they're cranking Pantera. So this thing, it's next weekend. It's September 13th and 15th at the Williamson County Expo Park in Franklin, Tennessee. You can find tickets and details at iccollectorsconvention.com. Hmm. So if you guys want to come visit us while we're hanging out doing our Star Wars thing, you can come see us there at that.
This would be interesting. I mean,
there's going to be a lot of awesome stars there. There's the guy that played Boba Fett's going to be there.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
My brother's going to be incredibly jealous.
Yeah, he's going to love it. I know Eric should be here for this. He would be able to tell me exactly who all these people are.
Right.
There's stormtroopers. There's Jawas. There's Ewoks. There's all these people that starred in Star Wars.
Wow.
And a bunch of other awesome people, too. I mean, the lady that plays Barry Allen's mom on The Flash is going to be there. I love that show. That's my favorite show.
Wow.
So we're going to have a good time.
Oh, cool.
We're going to enjoy an expo. And, man, if things go right, we might be able to record a really, really cool episode to Star Wars actors and actresses
about like.
Rock and roll.
That works for me.
I mean, geez, they're all from Hollywood, right?
Yeah. And we did when we do that? We did a comic book convention, 2012, I think?
A long, long time ago.
We had just gotten really rolling on the show and we did that.
That
so
was the last time,
a long
we
time.
Actually did an expo where we sat at a table. So I think it's time we do it again.
Take it to the people.
I'm taking you to the Star Wars people.
Cool.
It's going to be awesome next weekend. So if you guys want more information on that, like I said, it's iccollectorsconvention.com. If you're in the Nashville area,
come hang out with us.
You got to come check it out. Come hang out with us. I was looking at the plan out for it and everything. There's a ton of cool stuff going on. And a bunch of really cool people are going to be talking at it. And an opportunity to meet some of your Star Wars heroes.
Wow, that I like it.
There's going to be a dude from The Walking Dead there, a guy that's played like 25 different walkers.
A lot of lines to learn for that role.
So I want to tell you about that. I'm glad you're excited for it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We're going Decibel Geek at the Star Wars convention.
Yeah, if you're in the Nashville area, come hang. We'll put a mic in your face and you can talk on the show.
How fun. So let's talk about what we're doing here today. You and I both know Ralph Vieira very well.
Yeah.
You know, he's our friend. He comes to the expo every year. You know, we love Ralph.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't too long ago that we, along with many of you, probably saw the heart-wrenching video that Ralph posted about how his girlfriend had left him.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel when you saw it?
After I finished laughing, I felt pretty bad for him.
Yeah, I did too.
But it was a funny video and like, you know, a lot of people took it seriously at first, but part of the video, he's kind of, we're going to play a little bit of
it,
right?
You guys check it out for yourself. Here's the video that Ralph posted on YouTube not too long ago.
Smack-a-ma-gosh. Hey, I know I'm getting a little personal on here. I'm wearing the shades because I really don't want you guys to see me crying. My heart's broken. I don't know what else to say. I feel embarrassed calling my friends about this, so I'm just going to put this out there as a video blog. There's no other way to say my girl left me. And I'm really hurt. I haven't slept all night. Just devastated. And I'm also making this video to warn all you guys out there, man. You know, if you're married, you have a girlfriend you really, really love, be very careful, okay? Because I wasn't. And I fucked up. And she left me to somebody on YouTube, and I don't care how long you've been married or how much in love your girlfriend is to you or your wife is to you, don't ever let her see this video. She left me for this guy.
And since we're an audio show, we should explain what he was playing.
Right. So when he explains what happens, he lost his girlfriend. I mean, true love, you tell it was in his heart, and yeah. it's gone now, and he's a devastated, broken man. You know, so what happens is Ralph plays a video of a young man. He is singing along to his favorite band. He's doing the air guitar like it's never been played before.
Yeah.
And he is singing Read My Body.
Unfortunately.
And this young man is a young man named Rich Sir. So after it was revealed who'd stolen his one and only true love away from him, leaving him a tattered and ruined man in shambles, a shell of his former self. You know, me and Chris, we're good friends. We couldn't just stand by and do nothing. No.
Instead of consoling Ralph.
Instead of consoling Ralph, we found this irresistible man and we talked to him. And you know what? I think we can both agree. We totally understand why any self-respecting woman would leave Dr. Fuck for him.
Well, yeah, I'm not letting my wife listen to this.
Absolutely not.
I don't want to lose her.
So here's a little taste of that. And you guys enjoy our conversation with rock and roll internet sensation, Richard Sir.
Hey, I'm going to do Read My Body by Kiss. Hope you like it. About, do you wonder, do I wanna make you scream and shout? Shout it out! Would you like to know what's in my brain? Does your curiosity make you insane? Whoa, insane! Maybe you're just wasting precious time.
Rich?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, man? This is Aaron Camaro from Decibel Geek. I got Chris on the line with me.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. So I was curious, do you ever listen to any rock music podcasts? Are you familiar with it at all?
No, I don't. I'm not really one for the podcasts. I listen to a couple gaming ones, but beyond for that, the music ones I don't tend to listen to very much. However, I was listening to your guys' podcast the last couple days. My favorite one so far is the best and worst of each Kiss album. I listened to that whole thing.
Oh,
love
nice,
to hear it.
Man. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Hey, listen, the reason we're calling is that recently our good friend Ralph, and Ralph Vieira from the Rock and Metal Combat podcast show, he is a famous YouTuber. He's got a channel. He talks about rock music. He talks about Kiss. And he's pretty famous dude for it. And recently, he found one of your videos of you singing along to Read My Body by Kiss.
Read My Body, yeah.
And he shared it with everybody. And everybody just loved it. And you've basically become an internet sensation amongst the underground rock fans that follow these type pages. And so I went to look you up, and I found out these videos are like 10 years old, right?
Yeah, man. They're from. I started doing them, I think, when I was like 14 or 15. Yeah, they're old.
Wow, that's amazing how it comes out now. I mean, I guess the internet's forever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So to give some context, Ralph had a little bit of fun with your video because he basically started out his video with him on his couch like he was crying, and he was like, I hate to make this announcement, guys, but my girlfriend, she left me, and I'm really upset over it, and she left me for this guy, and then he threw it to your video.
That's great. Oh.
So when you put the – because I actually did see the video a few years ago because there's a Kiss FAQ message board that a lot of fans post on, and people posted a link to it on there. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Read My Body is kind of like one of the most reviled songs among a lot of the Kiss Army.
Yeah. During the when I watched your podcast, you guys did not have any really good things to say about that one when you got to it.
Well, after your video, I appreciate it a little bit more.
Yes, definitely.
but yeah, it was it's not a fan favorite from many fans, but so when you put these videos out, especially the Read My Body one, I mean, this is an interesting thing to talk to you about because of the whole YouTube generation. And also, if you want to lose faith in humanity, just read YouTube comments is what I've also learned.
Exactly.
I mean, it was a ballsy thing to do to put yourself playing totally. Air guitar out on a video.
Some of my videos, like if you read the comments, these people are fucking insane. They're like, you know, you should go kill yourself. I'm like, holy fuck. I'm just rocking, man. You got a fucking Bronx? God damn.
Wow.
But, nah. It just, in the end, I just did it because I like to do it. Mm-hmm. I love Kiss. You know, I've loved Kiss for years. And I just did it for me. I didn't give a shit what anyone else thought. I didn't care what they said. You know, I did it because I like doing it.
So there was.
I love doing it.
So, I love that.
So there wasn't any thought at the time when people were leaving these comments of, oh my God, you know, why did I put this out there?
I just want to rock. That's it.
Sweet.
That's it.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Oh man. Well, yeah. Did you realize what kind of a response you were going to get from this? Because Kiss fans are pretty rabid.
So when I started making them, I did get, and again, it was like when I was starting, when I was 15, you know, my birthday's in 2 weeks, I'm going to be 28 this year. And then it started going around the school. So everyone in the school, everyone in the kind of town kind of knew about it. Again, this is back in 06 when YouTube was first starting, you know, no one knew what YouTube was going to become. I didn't know what the hell it was going to become. I just wanted to rock.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really get the impact. It's sad now because you go back to those videos. Some of those videos have decent views because yeah. I never tried and make the channel into everything. I didn't try because I didn't understand. I was too young at the time. But like some of those got 15,000, 20,000. You know, I think a Bon Jovi one is 14,000. So
that's amazing.
It's kind of a little regret because I'm thinking to myself, if I actually put some time into it, you know, what it could have happened, but hindsight's a bitch.
Right. But I mean, they're perfect for what they are, just the way they are.
Yeah.
On that YouTube channel, there's constantly people want more of it. I stopped doing it when I was 19 or 20. It's when I came back from college, but I stopped making them then. I don't know why. I just kind of fell out of it.
Yeah. Well, has there been any thought to kind of revisiting it and doing a grown-up version of like a revisiting Read My Body?
Well, my voice is definitely – like some of those videos make me cringe a little bit, but my voice is definitely a lot better now. You know, when you message me, I kind of think, you know, maybe I'll give it another – I'll try and upload one, give it another shot.
I got to ask this because, I mean, Chris, you started it when you said it, but we do an expo every summer. If you could get here to us, could you get up on stage with a live band and do a live rendition of Read My Body?
Oh, God.
That would be amazing. And I think people would love it.
To be honest, I don't. I mean, people revile that song, but I found this out with a lot of the Kiss fans I do talk to in my area. Kiss isn't really, unfortunately, very, very unfortunately, safe. The only music people listen to here is 2000 plus pop trash. Mm. So,
where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Connecticut.
Okay,
so they. To get real rock and roll, you gotta go to New York.
Yeah.
But no, the people who the Kiss fans I talk to around here, I kind of tend to have unpopular opinions with a lot of Kiss fans. Like I like a lot of the songs that people don't like. Oh, like so, everyone, you know. a lot of people hated The Elder. I love Mr. Blackwell. I thought that song was fantastic.
I don't like The Elder, but I do like that song. So I'll give you that.
How do you
get into Kiss at being such a young age? Because they certainly weren't an in vogue band when you were growing up.
Yeah. Got to give the credit to Dad on that one.
Yeah.
He was big into a few 80s bands. He wasn't into a lot of, he wasn't a rocker by any means, but he liked three or four. Like, he was big into Journey. He was big into Kiss. When the 90s came, big into U2. And, that's what he'd play all the time. And I just took it from there and, started rolling, discovering these other bands. And now, there's just so many. Kiss alone has 300 songs, which all most rock. It's opened my whole world to a whole list of fucking bands. You got Zeppelin, AC/DC, Motorhead, Motley Crue. It's just Dio. The first time I heard Dio do that last line when he comes, when he says coming home, when he does the home vocal right at the beginning, that blew my fucking mind. And ever since I heard that, I just have been a complete hard rocker ever since. Metalhead. Nice. To the core.
That's awesome.
See, Kiss is the gateway drug. They are. Totally. Same with us.
Yeah. Well, and Aaron and I, we both grew up as big Kiss fans, and I got into them at a very unpopular time myself. I got into them in 1987. The makeup's not on anymore. They're doing the Crazy Nights album. And I got harassed repeatedly by jocks and cool kids at my school for liking that stuff.
Right. And then on top of that, the Kiss fans that actually remembered Kiss for when they were really cool are looking at you just getting into it at Crazy Nights going, oh, man, if you'd only known.
Well, yeah. I mean, let me de-age by 10 years so I can get into this stuff. But, it's funny. You were into the Read My Body off Hot in the Shade. I remember buying that album on release day when it came out, and it was a big deal to me at the time. But it was just, I think it's just the fact that you had the balls to go on camera, A, and B, to do it to that song, that really...
I still love that. So I love that whole album. It's like, again, that's one of the albums that people are like, and I'm just like, I love the Not Make a Bear Appears. My favorite.
I love it too. Nice. Yeah. Well, what do you think is a bad Kiss song? I'm just curious.
God. It would have to be, and people are going to shoot me for this, it'd have to be the Overplayed. Like, I despise Rock and Roll All Night. I really do, because it's just, I hear it everywhere all the time.
And it's 100%. The only thing you hear.
It's a good song, though. That's the sad thing. Right. It's a kick-ass song, but it's just they play it too much.
Yeah.
And it hurts you. Really, and it hurts you when you say, oh, who do you like? Well, I like Kiss. And they say, oh, Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day.
Yeah,
like,
oh, my God.
There's so much more than that.
Or they go, I Was Made for Loving You, too. That's the other one I hear all the time.
Yeah. I don't like that one either. So we're in agreement on that.
Right, sure.
So did you have you seen them live?
Yep, I saw them in August 2010. That was on the, I believe that's the Hottest Band in the World tour back in 2010. So, yep, I got to see them live.
So was it a lot of fun to finally get to see them play live?
Oh, my God. It's just like, I really, didn't know what to expect going into it.
Mm-hmm.
And after I left, because I had some preconceived notations of what I thought it was going to be like. And, this is at the time where I remember being I feel ashamed to say this, but it's fucking true. If you listen to music, you can hear it. I feel a little ashamed to say this, but this is at the time where Paul's voice was really starting to go on the deep, get fucked up.
Yeah.
You could hear it in some of the vocals. And I was really nervous about going and... I had nothing to fucking worry about. At the end, I felt like an idiot because I had nothing to worry about. The whole seeing Kiss, it's not like any other concert. It really isn't. It's a rock and roll show. But it's an experience. That's the only way to describe it. Mm-hmm. It's like you're, you know, every time it's like I watch it on YouTube, the flame pots go up and I'm like, that looks cool. But when I was there, you could feel that heat. Right. It's like you're standing right next to it. You it's like shit. And the drums were just insane, pounding in your bam, bam, bam. And Gene's, he did a God of War, or God of Thunder, rather. And the bass line on that, you could just feel it in your balls. Nice. It was just like, it's just unbelievable. And all these things come together. You see Paul Stanley swinging on that circle hook thing into the middle of the stage. And, you know, I had seen him do that in videos like 1,000 times. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to think it's cool. When I was there, I was like, I was losing my fucking mind.
Nice.
In fact, I remember because I had gone to the bathroom before the show, painted my face. Because you can't go to a kitchen and not fucking paint your face. So, I had to go and paint my face. And
who'd you paint? Who'd you paint yourself up as?
Paul, of course. Star Child, absolutely. plus, I can't do the Demon one for shit. I tried before. I just can't. That takes practice. No, I went as Paul, and I remember I sang with every single song. Right on. Every single one. And there was two, like, 16-year-old girls there, 16, 17. I shit you not. The brief moments I did look at them, they're, you know, they're nose deep in their phones, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? Do you not see what's in front of you? And I was just – because – they looked up at me like I was crazy because I was jumping out of the seat.
Yeah.
I was screaming. I like someone was going to come and restrain me because I was worried security was going to come. My father had to move to a different seat because I was just out there screaming and moving. And I beyond for those two girls who looked at me with disgust, and I just didn't give a shit at the time. But beyond for them, four or five or six other people around me were just looking at me like I was crazy. And I'm like, don't you know where we are? but no, it was unbelievable. It completely blew my mind. I couldn't speak for seriously about 6 or 7 hours. Couldn't speak because I just totally shot my voice out. Nice. And my ears were ringing for about probably an hour after the show at least.
Wow.
And it was just, you know, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the intensity.
Kiss people's first kiss experiences because it's always such a spiritual thing, you know, and you get that out of this story.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's first kiss story is always something special.
But were you depressed that they didn't play Read My Body?
Of course he was.
Oh, my God. No, I didn't mind the song selection. I forgot what the set list was. But
you knew them
no,
all.
I didn't mind it.
That's cool. Cool. Well, as Aaron mentioned, we do the Rockin' Pod Expo every year. It's basically rock music, rock stars, music podcasters. If you want to come to Nashville and do a performance, that's fine. But I'll have to warn Ralph that you're going to be bringing his girlfriend with you.
That you stole.
And that you stole away. And I'm going to tell my wife to stay home because you're not going to get, you know, I'm not going to have you take her away from me, too.
Right.
You understand me?
All off Read My Body. Oh, God, that song.
Is that the one you get the most response to?
I haven't really checked the page in a while.
Yeah.
But when the last time I checked it, oh, God, because I think the last one I did was Lonely as the Hunter, kick-ass song. Love that song. Lonely as the Hunter and, I forgot the other one. But those are the last two I did for when I was doing the videos. And actually, I did that the day after I got my Kiss tattoo, which was, it was kind of like a camaraderie thing.
Tell us about when you got your Kiss tattoo.
Oh, well, that was at the, it was in the last couple months of high school. It was a graduation gift. It ended up costing, my parents flowed for it. It ended up costing about $900.
Whoa.
It was a massive graduation gift. And we're not rich by any means. We are middle class, 100%. So it's, to pull that kind of money for that, I was really grateful. And then the Kiss concert, which followed that like 2 months later, that was also part of the gift. So Totally, you're looking at $1,400-$1,500 bucks.
That's cool parents, man.
Yeah.
And the tattoo's cool. It has it's Gene and Paul. They're my two favorites. And then they're kind of like standing on a cliff, and into the cliff face is the word Kiss is carved there.
Wow.
And it's a half sleeve, so it's a good like 12 inches.
Right.
It's nice. It covers my whole bicep on the right side. So, and you got Gene with his axe guitar and there's blood all dripping from it. And you got Paul Stanley with the, he was running. I remember one time he was using this blue guitar and I forgot what it was, but I loved it so much. And I had the tattoo artist do that one. So no, the tattoo, I love it. It took like 10 hours to do. Bled like a bitch, but it was totally worth it.
Wow.
Yeah, see, and when you think you're cool, you're not Kiss tattoo for your graduation present cool.
I still get compliments on the Kiss tattoo lot. So it's...
That's like it's a magnet. Nice to... It's like a magnet for cool people. Because the coolest people are going to walk up and be like, that's badass. And you're going to know they're awesome. It's a coolness detector.
I heard that Ralph's girlfriend really liked it a lot, and that's why she left him. It wasn't just the Read My Body video. That's what sealed the deal.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that. You guys keep talking about that now.
Yeah, I haven't
sang that song, and oh my God, it must have been years. And it's because I still sing all the time.
Right.
Like I work at Walmart. I'm up there pushing carts in the parking lot doing a bunch of other stuff, but when I'm in the parking lot, I'm ripping vocals all day. It helps me get through work, and I sing Kiss all day, and it's really fun getting the reactions from the people. And God, Read My Body, I haven't seen that particular song in years.
That's why when people come back from Connecticut, they always say that state's got the best Walmarts. That guy's out there in the parking lot singing weird Kiss songs. It's amazing.
Yeah, because I seen like the really, I'm a really big fan. My favorite Kiss song by far, and I believe it was supposed to be released on Creatures, never did. It's the only song fully written by Bruce Kulick, and it's fucking Sword and Stone.
Oh, that's a great one.
I love that song. That song gets me pumped. It's like I want to go to war when I hear that song. Like, it's freaking great. And he sang it on the Kiss Cruise 2018. It was either 2018 or 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's saying it with Bob and the rest of his band. And when I heard it live, I just like, it was like, here going to the Kiss concert again. I just lost my freaking brain. I remember screaming at my TV because I can never afford the Kiss Cruise. Cause that's like, you're looking at $1,000.
Right.
Yeah.
We've never gone either.
I'd love to fucking go.
Yeah.
It's gotta be insane to go, but it's just too expensive. I can't afford it. But when I watched the video, and I didn't know it was coming, because I'll sit there at the end of every Kiss Cruise, and I'll go, and I'll take like 6 hours, and I'll sit and watch all the videos I can find of it, just to try and get something from it, you know?
Yeah.
And when I heard that song played live, I was, oh my God. I cried.
Wow.
I cried, because it was so great, and Bruce Kulick is my favorite guitarist from Kiss. So it's just unfucking believable.
That's awesome. I like that it wasn't just a high school phase and you've stayed into the band. That's really cool.
Yeah. Oh no, it's not a phase. I've got a bunch and it's even gone. I've spent some money on it of what I can. I'm a huge collector of things from, you know, gaming, anime, rock and roll. I have over like 600 statues. Like I over the years I've collected, and I've got a couple Kiss pieces. I got the 94 Kiss lava lamp, which is, I think it goes on eBay for like $150, and it's got all the four members on the base.
I think I remember that.
Freaking awesome. And then I got a Kiss lamp. Unfortunately, the guy who owned it before me snapped the shade because apparently he got mad at somebody and threw it. I almost, you know, threw him through a wall for snapping that beautiful shade.
And you're not going to respect the Kiss lamp. You just give it to me now, and I'll take it, and I'll give it the respect it deserves. And
so he only had, like, the stand, because he ended up, like, pulling the bulb and the whole assembly out. But the stand is awesome, because it's like this obsidian-looking square rectangular pillar, and it's got each one of their, like, it's got the demon face, the star, the spaceman, the catman, all on each side. And it's got this big circle base on it. And I ended up using it to hold my headphones and stuff like that. And it just looks, it looks like a, like an obelisk.
Nice.
It looks awesome.
Do you know what's true about the light bulb and the Kiss lamp? It's hot.
What?
It's hot in the shade.
Oh, here we go with the Kiss puns.
That's the quality humor you get on our podcast.
Right, yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I guess it's easy as it seems.
Well done. See, you found out what makes the world go round.
Nice. This guy, he's one of us. Oh, man. It's going to be a long podcast.
I got to continue my little figures here, because now you got me talking, so prepare. Now you got me going. I got one of the 99, and I'm looking for these figures because I can't find them anywhere. 1999 set of Kiss figures, and they've got like small bodies but really over exaggerated heads, and they weigh about probably a pound each. These are pretty well bought figures, and I can't find these at all. The only one I got is Gene, and I really want the whole set.
Hmm.
I got two sets of the Kiss Pez collection.
Yeah, I've got that one.
Yeah, these are awesome. I love these. And then the only other piece I have is the it's actually a custom piece that I bought from some guy at a tag sale. He ended up getting like all the albums up till Psycho Circus, I think, and he got them all on a puzzle, and they put this puzzle together on this piece of plywood or something, and it's like a puzzle of all the album covers up to Psycho Circus, and I have that. That's up in the attic. I gotta find a place to display that. Unfortunately, that hurts to say, but. Yeah, so I got a couple things.
So what's the best Kiss record, in your opinion? Number one, if you could only have one album, what one would you take?
Revenge.
Yeah.
Without even hesitation.
Which is the best it's out like, of the four solo albums?
Oh, now that hurts.
If you say Peter, I'm going to hang up on you.
No, but Peter's album has probably has my favorite song out of all four. It's not my favorite album, but it's Tossing and Turning. I fucking love that song.
Yeah,
I sing that all the time. I was singing that yesterday. That song's great to sing. But my favorite album on the whole has got to be Paul's,
because
you have a great selection. A couple of them, but yeah, my favorite would definitely have to be Paul's.
Tonight, pretty awesome for them.
You know, you belong to me.
Yeah.
There you go. But no, Revenge is my mainstream favorite album, because you got Unholy on there, and it's like, how can you beat that?
Oh, Unholy might be the best non-makeup era song of all.
Like, I was created by man. But I'm the Lord of the Flies, you know I'm unholy. Yeah, that song. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That's great.
So I love that song. When Unholy came out, for me, I heard that and was completely blown away and couldn't wait for other people to hear it so that they could know that Kiss was heavy and cool. Did you have that same experience?
Like I said, when my dad first introduced me, it was all the, it was like the 70s stuff. And I didn't get into the non-makeup period until my second year of high school, because it's when I found because that was when I found the MTV Unplugged episode.
Okay.
And that whole set just like floored me. When Paul, my favorite song of that whole set was definitely I Still Love You.
Yeah.
And when Paul's vocals on that were just unbelievable. Just like he sang that note at the end, it's for me. But yeah, going back to your question, when I first, after I watched MTV Unplugged, I went a little deeper because, yeah, that's one of the things I actually liked about getting into Kiss later on is that there's just so much catalog and it's all different eras and different styles of music. And
when you come into them like that, like we did, yeah, then it becomes an adventure in discovery, yeah, you know, yeah, because you never know when you go to the record store what they're going to have and what's going to be there. Like I always remember coming home with Dynasty on LP one time and had no idea it existed and just couldn't wait to get home and put it on the turntable because it was an adventure and I discovered something new, which was brand new to me. And it was, you know, several years old by the time I found it, but I had no idea it existed. You know, and I always remember that as being like one of the greatest feelings in my life was the anticipation of getting home with a brand new Kiss record that I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
Yeah. After when I, because the first one, I think the first non Make It Bear record I listened to was Animal Eyes. Mm-hmm. And I thought I liked a couple songs on there because I think that was the record where they came out with Hide Your Heart. And for a while, that used to be my favorite Kiss song.
No, Hide Your Heart was Hot in the Shade.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, so I was wrong on that. But
maybe thinking of Heaven's on Fire.
No, I was thinking of Hide Your Heart, oh, okay. But Heaven's on Fire is also a good song.
Yeah.
No, I definitely agree with you, Aaron. I think I always love going in there and finding a new song, like a, you know, not popular song. Or when Gene ended up, I got to give big props to Gene because he ended up over the years, like he's leaked so much shit that it's freaking crazy. Like when he came out with that, I think it was a couple of years back, he came out with this big box collection.
Mm-hmm. Vault.
And yeah. I'm not sure, but he came out with a box collection. And the second that dropped, there was three tracks that no one ever heard before. And there was two demos, because I heard there was a demo of Dr. Love, calling Dr. Love, and totally different song. And when I was – I like hunting for those. And when I heard about them, I was scouring the internet trying to find the right one and not some, you know, bullshit video. And
yes,
I ended up finding them. And it's like an adventure. You go through and you find them and you listen to them. And you're like – sometimes you're like, eh, go back and listen to the original. And sometimes you're like, you know what? That's great. That was the experience when I found Sword and Stone. I just blew my mind. And I don't know – and I really believe that was supposed to be on Creatures. I don't know why that did not make the cut.
Well, there's also, do you ever hear Time Traveler?
Yep.
That's a good one, too.
Yep.
There's a great, some fan made a YouTube video of that song where they basically started with present day Kiss in the video,
yeah,
and it goes all the way back through the years and ends with the original, yeah, band, like a time traveler.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
It's a pretty cool video.
Yeah, I think that was Time Traveler. When I look into your, when I look into your eyes, Time Traveler. Yeah, yeah, I love that song. That's a great song, too.
But we got My Way on Crazy Nights instead of that song.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Okay, you don't like My Way. You're gaining cool points back.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of the producers there must have had too many shots of tequila before they fucking mixed the album with it, because that's fucking...
All right.
Where do you stand on Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer wearing the Spaceman and Catman makeup and costume?
Never gave a shit.
No?
I really don't understand why people put so... And it's one thing I fight with Kiss fans on every forum and board I can find. They, like, destroy those two guys. Eric Singer's a great drummer.
Hell yeah.
You know, and he's got really good vocals. I actually like Peter Criss's raspy vocals. I like those better than Eric's. And I liked Eric Carr. Eric Carr is my favorite Kiss drummer by far. And I liked his vocals. I can't say that because Eric Carr wasn't, unfortunately, around enough for me to... Because all I've ever heard vocals from him is Black Diamond and the demo of Little Caesar. Little Caesar, great song.
Yeah.
But, No, I would I'd have to say I really don't care. A lot of people give me shit for that, and I tell them, you know what? They're great musicians. Kiss wouldn't hire them if they were good musicians. Right. And you know what? It is what it is. Kiss is a legacy.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think they do it mostly from a marketing standpoint because, you know, totally. If you have those same iconic characters, it's just easier to sell that to people. And
it's more recognizable.
And let's face it, Paul and Gene are about the money. So, I mean, they're not going to. And also, if you look at it from their personal perspective, when they brought in Eric Carr and then Vinnie Vincent with their own makeup, it was probably the low point for the band's career. So they're kind of like, we tried that. It didn't work. Why should we do it again? You know?
Yeah.
But
the makeup never seemed a big thing to me. It's just the thing I love about Kiss, and when I said that when I went to my first concert that I was experienced, it's because they deliver on so many fronts. The makeup is just one little portion.
Right.
It's the makeup and the blood spitting. You know, I'll always love seeing Gene do that. He does a great job. The fire breathing, like it's like a rock and roll circus. And it's just when all of that comes together, all the little bits here and there come together, and you get one final beautiful, amazing, unbelievable, and non, you know, repeatable offering. It's just like you just get blown away. And that's what Kiss is. Every little thing comes together. So I've never been mad at them. A lot of people give them shit just because they like Ace, you know. And I like Ace. I'm not saying that. I love Ace. I love his solo work, you know. But I really do think those two get a really bad press because butthurt Kiss fans, you know, get triggered at the smallest things.
Amen to that.
I hear you on that. Yeah, we hear from them. So. As we wrap up, I do want to, and seriously, would you consider doing doing a couple of videos, especially a Read My Body video, just as like a bookend to do it to the first one? I think it would actually generate a lot of interest, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Read My Body. I got to find the lyrics for that fucking song.
I'll send them to you.
Yeah. Right. Oh, my God. That's so long ago. I don't know. Maybe I'll do the videos again. It's kind of nice knowing that. Because, again, I did them for me. You know, I didn't do them for anybody else. I just did them because I like to rock. And anyone who likes to rock watches them and they, you know, they enjoy it. That's all I need. So it's kind of nice knowing that people, you said this guy posted my video on a podcast. What was his name? I'll check that out.
His name's Ralph. If you go on the YouTube channel, it's called Almost Human 56. I'll send you the link to it. But he made it into a comedy bit, essentially saying that his girlfriend broke up with him and left him for you. So,
that's great.
I like that you have a thick skin about this because you know a lot of people would be like, oh man, they're making fun of my video. That's not cool. But like you seem to like roll with the punches pretty well.
Now, like I said, I just made them because I love to rock.
Yeah.
So it's all about rocking and having good times and, you know, getting away from the stress of the real world for a while. That's all what it is about.
That's cool.
You can leave all the hate and bullshit at home. I'm just here to rock. That's all.
Well said.
Yeah. Can't say it any better than that. Perfect. Perfect. Man, Rich, this has been awesome talking to you. And if we could figure out a way to get you to Rockin' Pod next year to perform Read My Body live, I would see it. You know, and it's awesome that I just love that you did it for you. You did it because you rock, and it doesn't matter what anybody else ever thinks of it. And all these years later, you are in some ways an internet celebrity because of that attitude. That's the rock and roll attitude, and that's the Kiss attitude. And, man, brother, this has been awesome to get to talk to you.
I appreciate it. It was awesome talking to you guys.
Bye. Well, Ralph, you are trending, and these are for you. Heart, 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 heart,